Don't worry, y'all. We got this. And we got it because of incredible people like my very next guests. Really excited to be joined on Election Day by Dr. Kristen Lierley and former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh. Dr. Kristen Lierley running in the 8th Congressional District. Welcome back to the show. Dr. Lierley, great to have you. How you feeling? Where you at? Last push? Are you feeling good about this one?
Maggie, I couldn't be feeling better. We started the day in Green Bay. We ended up down in Appleton with Secretary of State Godlewski talking about how great things are going, how secure and safe our elections are. The conversations we've been having, we were having lunch and our server came up to us, gave us free dessert and said, thank you for doing what you're doing. I wanted to get my tubes tied and I couldn't get the services that I needed. And I know you'll stand up for women. So I couldn't be more appreciative. I voted for you. People are coming out of the woodwork to tell us how important this election is to them.
What a great story to hear. I know you've heard hundreds of them during the course of your campaigning. Former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. How are you feeling today? Do you think there is this movement, especially from conservative women, voting perhaps quietly for Vice President Harris that might make the difference today and in the coming days as we count all the votes?
Well, Maggie, great to be with you. First, I want to find out what she had for that free dessert. What was dessert?
Oh, they were beignets and they were so good, but it was nothing compared to the conversation.
I love a good beignet. I feel really, really good. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, every battleground state I've been in these last few months, I just think there's been a movement of independents and Republicans who are going to pull the trigger against MAGA candidates, against Trump, and for Kamala Harris and Democrats up and down the ballot to send a message to MAGA. And I think and hope that that's going to play out today. I really do.
As do I. Kristen, I know you've got a ton of places to be this afternoon, super busy. If you want to take a moment and please address those voters in the 8th CD that may not have voted yet or are still on the fence. Take it away, Dr. Lierley.
Oh, friends, it is time. Here I am in my raincoat. We were out knocking doors in Green Bay, knocking doors in Kakana and Little Chute all over the district. And there are still folks out there who haven't voted. It's raining here. Do not let the rain deter you. This is the most consequential election of our lifetime. We say it all the time, but I think people truly do understand that, especially for women. And I'm not just talking about young women, women across the board, young families, old people, people know that this is about so many of the decisions that we have to be able to make ourselves, decisions about our reproductive health care, our own health care, the economy, things that we haven't been able to do under the current difficult political environment with all of the fear and the divisiveness. We're pulling it back together. We're having the conversations we need to have, and we are on the cusp of changing our democracy.
Folks, that's Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. Thank you so much for making time today, Dr. Lierley. I know you got to get back out there and knock some more doors in the rain. I appreciate you. Good luck. I will be watching very carefully. I think your congressional district is one of those bellwether districts. As goes the 8th, I think goes Wisconsin. So I'm pulling for you, my friend. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you, my friend. Looking forward to your coverage tonight.
Wonderful, folks. Again, that's Dr. Kristen Lierley, candidate in the 8th Congressional District. Joe, it has been just an absolute study in contrast over this past week and a half. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. When Donald Trump loses, this will be cited by political strategists as one of the weakest closing arguments in modern American history ever put forth to the American public by a presidential candidate. I don't know a way that he has succeeded in these last 10 to 14 days. Every time he's opened his mouth, he seems more extreme, more offensive. There's yet another group of people that's being alienated. Joe, what's your take on this study and contrast between the closing arguments among these two candidates for president?
Well, Mag, you're right, but let's just back up a moment. He's an idiot. I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but we can't normalize him. He's not a normal human being. If you 6 months ago talked to his inside campaign circle, they would have told him to say A, B, C, D, E. These are the four things you should say every time you speak. He's incapable of doing that because he's a bad guy. He's a stupid guy. He's a dishonest guy. He's a cruel guy. I don't feel sorry for his campaign staff because when you sign on to work for him, screw you. You get everything you deserve. But Maggie, they gave him a game plan. Just talk about immigration, the economy, and look at Kamala Harris and say, you've been there for 4 years. You've been there for 4 years. You've been there for 4 years. That's all he had to say. That's all he had to say in that debate with her a couple months ago. But he's incapable of that. So he brought up they're eating cats and dogs and forget about the rest. He's a horrible human being, and it's a good thing he is because a normal Republican would have a much easier time of winning this election.
That gets me to a question here, Joe, and I've been wondering about this because it seems to me that Donald Trump in his own mind went, and I'm going to say it is very intentional. It's both his sort of id and from a Freudian place and his messed up psychology. But it seems that he was very calculated in a very transactional way that cruelty would be the brand. Cruelty and isms of every stripe would be the selling point, that he was going to double down on that. That's what the pick of a guy, a shapeshifter, a chameleon, a con artist like J.D. Vance means, is I'm going to double down on the cruelty. That, again, the cruelty being the point, that is the selling point that he thinks is going to win this election. You get a quote-unquote normal Republican up there, how far are they ever going to be able to move off the cruelty? I mean, they'll sound better. J.D. Vance doesn't say things that are quite as bad as Donald Trump, but does cruelty sort of remain the brand even beyond this election?
Cruelty, yes. Hate and fear, Maggie. I call it hate and fear. Hate and fear. It is now, it's what the right is all about. And I have a unique perspective, as
you
know,
do.
Because I come from the right, and I come from right-wing talk radio. And I'm here to tell you, hate and fear sold for me. I didn't dabble in it as much as these folks do, but I dabbled in it at time, more than I'm proud of. Hate and fear still sells. Trump believes he can scare people into voting for him. Maggie, fear is a really powerful motivator. And it's not just his base. You and I have talked about this before.
Yes.
He's trying to scare people beyond his base.
Yes.
And she's appealing to our better angels. It's a contest.
Indeed it is. Here's my question for you, Joe. Is the Republican Party, as people who may find themselves or call themselves conservatives or have voted Republican for much of their lives, is that still the party that they're voting for? In my mind, you know, my few years on the planet or many years, depending on what, 47 of them, this isn't Republicanism. It bears absolutely no resemblance to what the messaging, the themes of Ronald Reagan, H.W., G.W., it's unrecognizable. So for folks out there that are Republicans or conservatives, is this the party that they have been a part of, or has this morphed into something utterly unrecognizable?
Maggie, the only thing Donald Trump was ever correct about, and I say this as a former Republican, Donald Trump knew how weak the Republican Party was. Trump knew 9 years ago how easy it would be to take over the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party. Ronald Reagan, H.W., forget about it. That party's long gone and dead. The Republican Party now is the MAGA Party. It's going to remain the MAGA Party even if and when Trump loses. This is the party from now on. It is a party. It's a nationalist party. It's an authoritarian party. It's a build a wall around America party. This is the party now. And the country needs to come to grips with that.
And come together to say this isn't what we want, be us conservatives or more progressives or independents or swing voters. What we don't want is a country where our politics is divided by hate, racism, misogyny, homophobia. I don't want it. It's exhausting. And it's frankly pretty disgusting. And for, you know, if you care about foreign policy at all, and the idea of us as a shining city on a hill, as Ronald Reagan said, it's an embarrassment. The entire world laughs at Donald Trump, the authoritarians included, because they know that all they need to do is flatter the man and maybe offer him a little shekel on the side, and he'll be theirs for the taking. I wanted to just play this sound for you. This is going to be cut 18, Cardi, because I thought, boy, JD, Trump makes unforced errors, so does he, but this has to be the cherry on top of the JD foot and mouth sundae. Let's take a listen.
And the trash's name is Kamala Harris.
Can you play it for us again, Cardi, and turn it way up if you don't mind?
One more time.
Cardi, we can't hear the cut. If you can hit that one more
time. And the trash's name is Kamala Harris.
So, Joe, obviously you've heard this before. Obviously, this is J.D. Vance calling Kamala Harris trash. Does this work? Does this get them a single additional vote that they wouldn't have gotten before he said it? Does it lose them votes?
No. No, it doesn't lose them votes. It energizes the base. I don't think that gets... Look, Maggie, nobody knows anything, but just as I watch what's happening around the country today, I feel like women... here's what I think. I think women are going to save our democracy. I think Republicans voting for Harris are going to really help get her elected. I think young people are coming out. But at the end of the day, women are going to say, I'm done with this BS. I'm done with this cruelty. I think women are going to vote against the Vances and the Trumps of the world. And I think that's going to be the story tomorrow.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joe, and I had some very deep intuitive sense about this as Donald Trump doubled down on what I'm just going to call the bro strategy, right? Let's make fear of empowered women the point. Let's make hating immigrants the point. Let's make, again, hating homosexuals or the LGBTQIA community the point and the brand, the knuckle-dragger bro strategy, doubled down. Well, that always leaves the door open for the pendulum to swing the other way and for women to say, we don't want a government or leaders that are defined by that. Joe, do you think that backlash is, I mean, you just said it, you do think it's going to be enough to take Kamala Harris over the top? Where does this leave those bros? Like, are we going to see violence? Are they going to be that mad? Are they going to feel that betrayed by Donald Trump and J.D. Vance that they act out in some way?
Yes, but understand, Maggie, let me back up a moment.
Sure.
The reason this election is so close is because Democrats, and you and I can fight about this after the election, Democrats have been utterly, they have lost touch with working class America. And that created an opening for Trump 9 years ago to come along and demagogue and feed bull crap to working class America. There are real problems with immigration and the economy, real, real problems that working class America is concerned about. Democrats haven't been in touch with these issues, and they've been more into like woke stuff. And again, I fully acknowledge that Trump has come along and he's fed them. Like immigration's an issue. What has Trump done? He's tried to scare the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. These people are committing crimes everywhere. They're eating your cats and your dogs. All bull crap, all lies. But then you've got these working class voters who hear the lies that Trump feeds them, and they say, well, at least Trump's listening to me. And I look over here at the Democrats. The Democrats don't seem to give a damn about what I'm concerned about. Democrats have an issue. They got to find a way to talk to working class America again.
And that's where I want to pick up with you, Joe, is figuring out how to talk to working class America, because I do think Democrats have been trying to get some policies for working class America done. They haven't messaged it well. Folks, more with former Congressman from Illinois, former Republican Joe Walsh, when we come back on this special Election Day coverage here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.